Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by SuperValu Insurance, looking out for you and yours with our new life and mortgage protection insurance.
Now, my next guest, Gloria Hunniford, well, she's a television legend. She left Portadown in County Armagh for the bright lights of London many years ago, and she has forged an amazing career since then. She's still working, presenting Rip Off Britain on BBC One Television, and last week, her home place of Armagh honoured her with the Freedom of the Bird. Gloria Hunniford, congratulations and good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Miriam. How are you?
I'm great. Listen, it was so great. Was it a lovely honour to be awarded the Freedom of the Bird in your own home place?
I have to tell you, it was more special than I can ever describe, because in advance, you sort of think, well, what does the Freedom of the City give me? Lovely honour and everything. Do I drive my sheep over the Ban River or what? But I could not have anticipated, really. Because you know how sometimes people go the extra mile? Well, they went the extra 10 miles in this case. There was a formal side to it, of course, with a lovely procession. And I was with the man, I think, who's like overall the chief executive of the council. And he was at least 6'7". And I looked like a lovely little leprechaun, you know, dressed in a bit of green, et cetera, et cetera. But the procession was really what I did not expect, because it was very formal, with somebody carrying the mace up front. And but what was really marvellous, apart from being given the honour, which I really felt humbled about, when there were about 200 people there for dinner, and when I looked into the crowd, you know, my former neighbours from Hillsborough in Northern Ireland, where I lived, they were there. Mary Peters was there, whom I went to school with at Portadown College. Just people I'd known for years and years, and it was very emotional, apart from my family. And they were very emotional. I saw one of my sons welling up at one point, because people are not going to say nasty things about you on an occasion like that. So I think they were very touched by the lovely things they said. And I began to think, is it me they're talking about here? But it was fabulous. I loved every second. And, you know, I've been thinking about it off and on ever since.
That's so lovely. And I think, were you the first woman to get it, Gloria?
Yes, I am the first woman to get it. And the Lord Mayor, who's just finished her term of office, a woman, lovely woman. And so she was the one who put my name forward. So there you are, Miriam. A bit of girl power still does exist.
Wonderful. Now, listen, tell me a little about growing up in Portadown in County Armagh. What are your earliest memories?
Well, my earliest memories, I mean, now that, of course, you always look back, don't you? And people always ask you about your parents and everything. We lived in a two up, two down. But I thought it was a very posh two up, two down, because we had Pebble Dash. And Pebble Dash was very new then. But, you know, we didn't have any spare money. And we lived a very good life. My mother was a wonderful cook, better than Mary Berry on any day. And my dad was a magician by night and a newspaper man by day. So there were things like, which you don't remember this, you're too young. But yeah. There was no television. And so we had concert parties. And so you would have a group of entertainers who would go north and south of the border. So when I was seven, my dad said to me, well, would you like to sing with the group? Because I was always singing anyway around the house. And so I started to sing semi-professionally at seven. And my first concert was in Armagh, County Armagh, in a place called Lochgall. And it got 7 and 6 pence, which to a child of seven was a lot of money.
Wow.
But I was very lucky in that I hear horror stories about parents and everything, but I genuinely had beautiful parents, and my mum was a home bird because my dad, macho man, wouldn't allow his wife to work. I'm going to look after our family, even though there wasn't really spare money. But the thing that I suppose stands out in my head, apart from loving the county and the freedom in those days that we had, because we were thrown out of the house, as it were, after breakfast. We didn't come back to lunchtime, but they were innocent days and we didn't have the horrors and terror things that we hear about these days. So there was a great freedom about it. But when I got to the age of 10 and 11 plus, as it was, I wanted to go to Portadown College. Don't ask me why I had to fight my parents for the opportunity to go, but I did. I really had to argue because they said, well, do you want to be a doctor or a teacher? No. So why do you want to go to the college? That was the attitude in those days. Mm-hmm. And then my mum said, we don't have the money for books and uniforms and things. And I went, you know what? I'll pay for them myself, because, of course, I was earning a bit of money singing. And so I got to go to the college in the end. And my grandchildren can't understand why I had to fight my parents for the opportunity to go. They're bemused by that. But it was a wonderful time because we had a headmaster, a man called Mr. Woodman, who was way ahead of his time, because I remember some lads were caught smoking, you know, the usual behind the bike shed and all that. But he put that to the vote of the school. So in assembly, we had to vote as to whether smoking should be allowed at lunchtime, etc. And, you know, the school voted against it. But that was how ahead of his time he was. And I just, looking back, I just thought, what a great thing. And, of course, Mary Peters was at Portadown College the same time as me. And recently I said to my husband, you know, I never won anything in sport. And he said, why was that? And I said, because Mary Peters, pentathlon, gold medal. She was in my class, you know, so no wonder we didn't do well. She was great at everything.
She was going to win everything. You're still
everything.
Really busy, Gloria. You're a regular in Loose Women. You present a programme called Rip Off Britain. Is it important for you to still keep working? And do you enjoy it as much as ever?
Well, you know, you wouldn't do it if you didn't enjoy it because, you know, it's not all sort of roses all the time. Standing out on a really rainy day doing some filming or whatever the case may be. But it's work ethic from Northern Ireland, I have to tell you. Northern Ireland always had a very, very strong work ethic. And because I've been working since I was seven, in a weird way, and a lot of people won't understand this, but in a weird way, I know where I am with work because it's solid ground, because I've done it for so long. And there's something in my soul. I just want to keep my brain busy. I enjoy people. I love reading all the research. I enjoy the fun of Loose Women, for example. And I really enjoy the consumer program that you mentioned, Rip Off Britain, because I kind of live by the advice we get from very clever experts. And everybody is stuck for money these days or worried about their energy bill or whatever. And so I feel as if it's a good public service. And it certainly helps me because I live by it. You learn what to do or what not to do.
Yeah, and I was speaking just a few minutes ago to two other lovely guests from Northern Ireland. She's currently Miss Northern Ireland, Hannah Johns, and her dad, Paddy, played rugby for Ireland. Now, all three of you, I was thinking, you're really committed to fundraising, to health education. I was lucky enough, Gloria, to know your magnificently beautiful daughter, Karen, just a little. She died so young, for my listeners who may not know this. You're still really involved in the charity you set up in her name, aren't you?
Very much so. And that really is my healing. And I'll tell you how it happened, you know, because I was talking about what I'd learned through Rip Off Britain by listening to the advice. But people wrote to us in their thousands simply because Karen was very well known through Blue Peter. I had a certain knowledge as well. And this woman wrote to me on jotter paper with a pencil. And she said, I don't know why I'm writing to you at 1:25 in the morning. But she, of course, said she was sorry to hear about Karen dying from breast cancer, etc. And then she said, now, you have a voice. And she said, you have to work out a way in order to carry Karen's spirit forward. Also, she said, remember that Karen had a very deep soul and the soul is bigger than death and death is never the end. So you have to find a way forward. And in that minute, I thought to myself, almost, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to have to raise money for cancer charities. And that's what we started. We started Karen's Foundation that year. And so we now give, I don't aim to raise millions. I don't, because I want to work, as we mentioned. But it's very healing. And it's very lovely. Every time I write a check for a grant, you know, I just think Karen would be so proud of this. And it's healing for me, because I do believe that if you do something positive against something so deeply negative, that it does help you. It helps your spirit and it helps your brain and it just helps you get by.
And I suppose it also keeps her memory alive for you all, Gloria.
Well, there's a lovely phrase that says, which I learned from a friend of mine after Karen passed. And she said, people never die if they live on the lips of the living. And I repeated that to myself. I thought, people never die if they live on the lips of the living. And it was very profound for me. And so we've always talked about Karen. I like talking about Karen, particularly through the foundation. And I think that that's really an important phrase, because some people lock it away and don't talk or don't grieve. It's natural to grieve. And everybody grieves in a different way and at a different time. But I do believe that not everybody will want to start up a charity. I understand that. But, you know, let's say your husband died in a hospice or in a hospital. Even if you go and just help out a little bit or read to people in hospital or you know, wheel around the library books or talk to people, you know, some little thing against the negativity of losing your loved one. It really is mending.
Absolutely. How her two little boys, am I right on the story? I think they were like 9 and 7 when Karen died.
They were 10 and 7.
And how are they doing now? And is one of them getting married this year?
One is getting married in September. Aww. I can't believe it. And he came to me not that long ago. I mean, it's not that I go to church every Sunday, but I have always had a strong belief and I want to have a church as my base. So when I came to Sevenoaks, where I live, I discovered Hever Castle has got a church next door. And I loved it because it was small, nice community. And that has always been my church. And Karen rests there and we've had weddings there. I mean, 4 of us in the family got married there. So it's very special. Mm-hmm. And Charlie came to me one day recently. He's 29 now, by the way.
Wow.
And he said, oh, I was talking to your vicar this morning. And I said, oh, where did you meet him? And he said, well, I want to get married in the church Mum got married in. So that was very emotional and very grown up and a very good decision because his wife-to-be, a beautiful girl whom I love like my own grandchild, she didn't mind where she got married. And so that's what they're doing in September. And that will be the 5th wedding there. So I think there'll be a lot of tears that day because I can't help but thinking Karen should be there to see her son being married, you know?
Yeah, but it's so lovely he's getting married in the church. Finally, Glory, the one thing I also noticed the other day on your Instagram is the outfit you wore. You look exactly the same, by the way, as you did like 30 years ago. But the outfit you wore was magnificent the other day. Where was that from? Who made that for you?
Thank you. It's from a designer called Beatrice von Tresco, T-R-E-S-C-O. And I don't know what nationality she is originally, but she puts all the colorways together and she does a lot of lovely embroidered coats. And so those get woven or embroidered in India and then she makes them up here. But her linings are always different. So that particular outfit, one side was blue and the other side was green. And it had a wonderful frill right down the middle of the dress, which hides a multitude of sins across your midriff. And then the coat over it was green silk on the outside and turquoise lining on the inside. So I knew that the councillors would all be in their robes. So I thought long would be the answer. And so it was, it kind of suited the day very well. But thank you for that. I will tell her you said so.
Oh, it's beautiful. Well, look, Gloria Honeyford, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for being my guest this morning. And congratulations again on getting the freedom of the borough from your home place in Armagh. So well deserved. Thanks so much, Gloria.
Thank you so much. Really lovely to talk to you again, Mary. And we go back a long way, you and me.
Absolutely lovely. We'll talk again soon, Gloria. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye now. Bye.
Yeah, mind yourself.